Hello, Mech Warriors, and welcome to the Mech Bay, where we fix your mech and fix your game. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mech Bay Podcast, your number one source for everything casual up to competitive tabletop Battletech content. Today, I've got Dustin and Denim, and we are going to talk about making that custom mech come to life so you can have your very own piece of the battlefield. But first things first, let's talk about some hobby progress. Dustin, what have you been up to lately?
This week, I painted some bases. I printed some more terrain. I got my old Hextech stuff out of the closet for this game that we're going to be playing, this local game. I also recorded myself painting like a shipping container, like 32 millimeter scale shipping container thing, and a Hextech building with my like quick paint sponge paint thing. I don't really know how to describe it because I haven't really seen anybody else do precisely what I was doing. I mean, I'm definitely not the first person to paint something with a sponge. Anyways, a couple of people wanted to see how I was doing it, so I'm going to put that together. So I was painting that stuff too, getting my terrain ready.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Is that all you've been up to, Dustin?
Oh, this week, yeah, pretty much. I think I finished up some Necron stuff too. Painted some base. Yeah, I did bases on my Immortals and my 10 new Warriors, but that's it.
I thought I saw you do some Necron terrain.
Oh, yes, I did print something, but so far it's just primed. I'm also going to sponge paint that bad boy. But yeah, I guess I have been productive.
It's okay to deny you being productive, but I know you were. Like, you finished printing all of the ships that we talked about last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You did that, too.
I also did that. So you got some Kanga, or what, Kagas, and Aganos, and Mogamis, and all kinds of little tiny ships.
But yeah, like I said, I just really wanted a small collection of, like, little micro machines of, like, worth of World War II ships, just to, like, throw around. Like, never really planning on playing any, like, historical games with them. It'd be cool if I did, but they're just going to be there in, like, a fun little hobby project.
Give me 10 years and I'll play with you.
Exactly. Denim, what have you been up to lately?
Hello. I, like Dustin, have been making terrain. So much terrain. I'm really excited about us getting back together, and I want some cool tables to show off. I've been doing 3D hills, the new trees from the Steel Warrior Studios. I finished up the forward base. It's all painted, flock textured, ready to play on, and I'm very, very excited about showing all that off. I have also been working on painting up this nifty Black Knight with a sword-shaped hatchet.
Tell us, how does it feel to be one of the lucky few to have a Black Knight?
Oh, man, it feels good. It looks so good. It really does. The detail on it is so fantastic. I was looking at one of the old models, the old Black Knight minis. Mm-hmm. That looks kind of special. I don't know. I don't like the way that the gun is mounted on the arm at that weird angle for the old one. And the head looks too big. But this one is just, it just looks so good. They put a lot of work into it. If you get creative with magnets, you can do all of them. I was thinking of trying that out just to see how that works. But I got to get some small magnets first. But these look better. This Black Knight looks just as good, if not a little bit better, than any of the new Catalyst minis.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. I mean, the Catalyst minis look great, so
they look fantastic.
And this is the creme de la creme, or however you say that. I'm excited to see it in person. You're going to bring those bad boys, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be there Wednesday. Yes, sir.
We're all playing this week. All right.
But Denim, tell us more about what the whole order and delivery process, because
That's true. I do have a story about that. I do. So I got my Black Knight. I was very excited about it. It did not take too long to get here from when I ordered it. But when I was sorting out the parts and pieces, I noticed that because it comes with like five different types of hands, three different legs, and you can pose it in all types of different ways. But it was missing. It had two right hands and only zero left hands of a certain type, which was a bummer because I like options. And then when I was trying to fit the legs, even though the the torso, the lower torso part looked fine. It was pretty messed up. Visually inspecting it, it looked okay, but it just didn't fit for some reason. I don't know if it got bashed or whatever. But in the email that they sent, they said if there was any problems, just to take a picture of it and send it to this address. And I did. And within 24 hours, I got a response back from them. They replaced the hand that was missing. They replaced the lower torso piece. And then as a, you know, we're sorry, they included a second Black Knight and one of their prototype Ryokans that they're working on for the next batch. And all that came within a week of me sending them a picture. They were fast. Their quality was fantastic. Their customer service was awesome. I'm really looking forward to working with these guys.
No, that's really impressive that you went through all of that and the turnaround gave you more than you could have asked for.
I was not expecting any of that. So I will definitely be buying pretty much every mech they put out, depending. I really want them to put out like the Timberwolf A. That I'd love to have an actual mini for that mech.
Which one's that? That's the two ERPPCs run, right?
ERPPCs, SRM6 Streak, and the three medium pulses. Mm. So it doesn't have symmetrical box the torso box weapon pods. You know, one of them is just three lasers, and the other one's an SRM6. So it looks kind of funny and lopsided, but it is my favorite variant of that mech.
No, that would be awesome if they did that. How does it feel to be one of the like the few people to have one of the new Stormcrow prototypes? Like,
man.
Like you have the variant that might, like, things might change, probably, I'm guessing.
The only thing that'll change on it is it will look better. Like the one I've got, you can tell that it has mold lines. I couldn't find any mold lines to clean up on the Black Knight, but the Ryokan definitely has, you know, some mold lines, but everything looks fine. In the note they included, they said that they're not going to sell any of these, the prototypes I have, because it's just copies they use to test their system. And then now that they have everything dialed in, then they're making the ones for production, and all of those look way better. You know, just pretty much zero cleanup. But I examine all the pieces, and they look fine. You know, if there's anything that I can't clean up, that I could just like say it's battle damage or something. But you know, as a free thank you for supporting them, it's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's some top tier like news that I don't think anyone was expecting.
Well, I mean, on that point, if they gave me like another Black Knight, that means that they're producing Black Knights right now at a good rate. So. Yeah.
If they keep on selling
stock,
out.
Yeah, if they weren't in stock now, they will be back in stock soon enough.
Yeah, they just have to wait until they've got that stockpile of Black Knights to like fill the demand. And they probably know that there is a much higher demand than what they expected. But
I also appreciate them using the stock they have right now to, you know, to replace bits and pieces that, you know, that weren't at their level of quality that they think it should be.
When you're starting out that new, you definitely have to set aside some for the growing pains and, you know, test runs and issues that might arise that you couldn't account for.
Right. And these people have never done anything like this before. So all of their issues are new to them.
It's all baby steps for them.
Yeah. But I'm willing to be patient and I'm willing to support them. So yay.
That sounds really awesome. What about any other hobby progress for you?
No, that terrain took so much time, but I am so happy with how it turned out.
I feel like I'm the only one not printing up terrain. Like,
yeah, models, but you're painting. Models? I saw you paint elementals, and I haven't done that.
I'm sorry. You are incorrect, sir. I painted an elemental, single elemental.
One more than I got.
But no, I thought he looked good. I wanted to test out schemes for my diamond sharks, and I didn't want to throw the airbrush today just because I was like, I'm not really feeling like lugging out the air compressor and doing
all
that.
It's a process.
It's a process. And I'm
like,
set
up and take down.
I can do an elemental, not even watering down paints, essentially. Like, it's like one coat of air. Like, I used airbrush paint, did not use an airbrush. Like, that's how little I was like worrying about the process. I got the paint on it, did like a couple dry brushes, a teeny tiny brush for doing eyes. I did the red for the SRMs on him, and I was like, this looks good.
It does.
I can do this for another, 30 elementals.
Man, I gotta get better reading glasses because my eyes are old.
See, I was blessed with nearsightedness by fate. So nice. I was born to do this.
Nice.
But yeah, that's pretty much my main hobby progress for that. It was painting the one elemental. Really just getting everything organized. Like I said, we will all be meeting up this Wednesday to actually talk BattleTech in person at one of the game stores, play do all BattleTech. That. So
I am so excited.
Yeah. So I know I'm just getting ready. Like I need to do that. And then it's like, all right, then the hobby wave will crash into me. Like, cause then I'll be looking forward to games and getting new mechs and stuff.
The Clan Buster will not be painted, but it will be assembled and primed for Wednesday.
The clock is ticking on how fast you can get that Ryokan Stormcrow painted.
Yep. Well, I'll be working on that this week.
I did do some mech window shopping / purchasing this week, though. I went to Fortress Miniatures and Games to check out their new Death Ray Design infantry models. Like, I really couldn't stop looking at the 6mm infantry platoons that they've come out with. Like, they've got SRM infantry, jump infantry, even custom VTOL transport minis that you could use to get those guys across the board. They really have anything that a combined arms player could want. Like, seriously, the jump infantry have, the little plumes coming out them, like the elementals do, but they're smaller and you've got, seven guys to a base, and they look like a whole squad is there with laser rifles just ready to jump on something. Dustin gave me a mission to get a list together, and I picked out a few. I think a few of the new ones. I got the Scourge. I looked at some Aerotech stuff just to see if I wanted to throw that in. One that I was kind of excited about was the Marauder 4X, the experimental one with the blazers.
Yeah, you love binary lasers. Experimental mechs.
I have a problem, and it's Black Knights, Mongooses, and experimental one-offs.
It's a good-looking mini, though.
Yeah, I mean, I will say before all of the Kickstarter things were happening, the re-release of the Marauder, I was looking at using that one and just slapping a AC-10 proxy on top of it because I think that one's look is closest to the modern Marauder.
Yeah.
It's got that hunch. It's got the big dual arms. To me, it's one of the better looking metal ones. I should get that. I got the Cave Lion and the Tiburon for my totem Dark Age clan mechs. And I think those were some good choices that I had always been looking at, but hadn't pulled the trigger on yet.
You're saying all these names that I don't recognize. These are all after my time.
I think I have a Quasimodo and a Rook on the way. There was a couple. I think I wanted a Hatamoto something, Suna or something. Another Dark Age DCMS mech. But it wasn't in stock. So
is the Quasimodo a quad?
No, it's
that's the Quadimodo.
Excellent. I think it's, I haven't even looked at it. I was just like, the miniature is cool. I'm getting that. See, I work totally backwards. I get the minis first and then I look up the stats and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So Quasimodo is one of those. It looks like a Dark Age hunchback.
Gotcha.
I got to look it up.
Yeah, that's just literally a Dark Age hunchback. That's really just we took a hunchback and three medium variable speed pulse lasers on it.
Is it also 50 tons?
55. The years weren't kind to the hunchback. He put on some weight.
Put on some weight. Three VSPs, two ER mediums, and a small. Yeah, so it's got the VSPs instead of the AC-20. Cute. But anyways, good looking mech miniature, so it's going in the shelf.
So many good looking miniatures now.
I mean, you don't say that like it's a bad thing.
Oh, well, I'm not addicted to crack, so I got to spend my money on something.
There you go. good looking miniatures that gets the endorphins going.
But yeah, those guys are coming from Ares Games and Minis. They were out of a few things that we wanted, but they do a real good job of getting all that back in stock pretty fast from Ironwind. But yeah, we're all meeting up on Wednesday to this, go to the game store, and we'll come back with hopefully a lot of fun stories, meet some new faces, play some games, show off our quarantine projects, and just have a grand old time like in the before times.
Yep.
For BattleTech news, we've got another clan Kickstarter email and essentially we'll be looking at August or later.
For August or September, because the boat just went right by. Like, yeah, bye.
Bye. Yeah. I'm in it'll be here when it'll be here mode.
Yeah, I've got plenty of stuff to do and paint before then. I don't care.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah.
I do think it's funny that I'm 100% sure that there's not a single person that thought we would get the Clan Buster Black Knight before the regular Wave 2 Black Knight.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
I had it completely the opposite direction.
And I have it right here on my desk.
Wait, I'm looking at the pictures, and it looks great, just like the rest of the Comstar Command Level 2. And I just think it's very funny. That
do I have to paint this Comstar? I don't, right?
No. I mean, you could... Lore-wise, it was on Comstar, and then a bunch of people defected, so they would sell their mech and live like kings on some backwater world.
Yeah, I think this will be captured salvage.
Exactly. Do you know who you're going to put it in?
I've got a lot of decals for Karita units, but then I also have like my the mercenary unit I made when I was in my teens when this game first came out, the black, blue, and yellow paint scheme that I do. Mm-hmm. But I think this one will probably go Karita, just because I think it'll look really good in red and black.
Like the Black Knight from Monty Python?
A little bit more red, but yeah. Oh, see, now I need to put magnets on there so I can like hack off its arms.
Yeah, you gave me that armless Black Knight. I made the joke. I painted it.
Love it.
And you gave it back to me.
I did.
You rejected my friendship gift. And thanks, Dustin.
He had no arms.
It's battle. But he came with no arms. Matter.
Yeah. He's had worse.
But yeah, let's take a quick break and we'll get into pimping your mech.
Custom Freezy Edit Salvage and Swap Yard.
Do you need equipment for a field refit?
I've got a whole pile of rear-facing medium lasers. Heck, I know a guy who built a mech backwards so all the rear weapons would be in the front.
Have an idea that you need brought to life?
Now, I've got a hunchback with jump jets in instead of the autocannon, like a giant jet engine sticking out the front. Does a backflip every time you pull the trigger.
Just trying to get rid of that stack of machine gun ammo that gets dumped as soon as you enter the battlefield?
See, we've got these LRM launchers that shoot out SRMs, and the SRM launchers shoot out the LRMs. Now, nobody here can explain how it works. Just whatever you do, do not use Inferno rounds.
Whatever you need, come on down to Custom Crazy Edit Salvage and Swap Yard.
That mech over there, it doesn't have hands, just two extra legs. It's not a quad mech, but he ain't ever failed a PSR yet.
All right, and welcome back. Most of us that have put mechs on the table have spent some time dreaming up either our own custom mech or at least a custom variant. Now, just because you haven't played with a custom mech doesn't mean they are relegated to the backroom mech bays and shadowy pickup games. We've got the Percival Mixtech mech from Fortress Miniatures, the Ares Omnimech from Ares Games and Minis, the Clan Seafox Lance, and even works like Project Zukov by Steve Cross. Custom mechs are almost right at the front of the hobby, and today we're going to be bringing that discussion more into the light. But the question always comes down to, why should you do that? And why should you bring it to life on the actual table, rather than just keeping it locked up in your imagination? Dustin, you're the one who has not made that many custom mechs.
So I've made, I think, two custom mechs. Oh. The first mech I made was out of the back of the Game of Armored Combat construction rules. I did have the tech manual. I believe that's the one that has the construction rules, but I hadn't really dug into it yet. I'm just always been a fanboy of canon mechs, and they have their quirks and their personalities. And I guess I never really got around to it. It was fun to make that first mech, understanding how the engine size works. You know, you could kind of reverse engineer certain mechs in your head. So that was interesting. And then I kind of didn't do it again until we were talking about recording this episode. And I made my second custom mech, and we can probably talk a little bit more about it later, but I kind of wanted it to fill a certain role.
So what do you think was the main reason why you hadn't made any custom mechs? Because me and you have actually played with one of my custom mechs on the table.
I don't really know why. I've never had anybody ask me that question, and I don't have an answer for you.
Really? I know. Yeah. I know why I did it, and it may have something to do with why you didn't. How many mechs do you have access to that are official mechs?
Oh, I see where you're going with this. Well, there's like probably about 180 miniatures on my wall. So I got a lot. And then I haven't even...
But when I say access to, like just record sheets, how many official... Exactly, thousands.
Thousands. Thousands of record sheets. And you can go into any number of the third-party programs where all the bits and pieces that you need, the numbers are there, like Mega Mech Lab or Solaris Skunk Works. And I mean, you can just scroll for days, pick an era, pick a chassis, and pick a variant, and you've got thousands and thousands. So yes, a bottomless well of something that, you know, if I make a mech, somebody probably built something pretty close to it already. So yeah, maybe that's why I didn't do it.
Yeah, I think I started with, there were 16 or 18, something like that. That's it. That's all the official mechs there were.
That's not a lot of mechs. It's a tiny amount of mechs. Yeah.
So I custom built dozens, maybe even hundreds of mechs over the 30 plus years that I played.
You're a mech making master.
Well, I mean, also it is an essential part of the game. I mean, this is not an afterthought that Fassa or Catalyst now added on to their product. From the very first box sets, like the rules for designing your own mechs were included. And I think it's because they knew they didn't have a lot of mechs. So in order to grow the product, you know, either they have to do it or you can do it. And to design a mech, I think to design a custom mech is to play the game as intended in my mind.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. I mean, it's rare. Well, I've only got experience with two war games, but so far it seems that it's rare that the creators of the game give you the engine on which it runs. The part of, I would say, the beating heart of Battletech is definitely the mech construction rules. It's, you know, it's what we're here for, is the stompy robots, and that's how you make them. And it's neat. It's one of the ways one of the things that comes up in conversations with adjacent wargamers who I'm trying to bring in is that, like, you have the access to, you have the game design in your hands. So I didn't do it much, but it's there. It sounds like you did it a lot. What about you, Josh?
I mean, I've spent way too many times designing mechs at work.
Oh, really?
I would be lying if I didn't say that I have at least two mech design programs on two flash drives at work at all times.
Huh? Awesome.
I mean, lunch breaks, people. Lunch breaks. Not. Come on.
Come yeah, on. Yeah, yeah. Come on, come on. Nobody ever does other things on the clock.
I just always find it like as a fun little exercise of like, well, how could I tweak this mech? Like I don't always build straight from the ground up. Sometimes I'll do just like kind of a tweaked variant, or all right, this is what works. How would this work? Or how would I solve these engineering issues on this mech? Kind of stuff like that. Like more like a thought exercise. It kind of keeps the brain fresh when I'm thinking about that.
Yeah, you like puzzles.
Yeah. But I really enjoy building my own custom, and like my logic part of my brain is working on that like mechanical side, and then like the creative side's like giving it the backstory, like, all right, where would this have been made and why would they have made this? Would this be a shortage of parts, or would this be for this one specific battle when they had to like glue two mechs together? Like stuff like that. So it's very much a creative outlet for me.
Do you always think about how your mech looks? Or are you more worried about the design and how it operates? Because honestly, a lot of times you can ask me, oh, this mech is cool. What does it look like? I have no idea in my head what it looks like, because all I was worried about was what it does and how it acts.
I almost doodled a drawing of my mech. So I was actively thinking about how it was going to look.
I think that's awesome. I think my favorite minis, I have a picture. I mean, my favorite customs, I have a picture in my head of how they look, but out of like the hundreds that I do, there are so many of them that are just, they're just data on a piece of paper.
Oh man, they're faceless.
Faceless yeah. Masses.
No, I mean, every single one is like, as soon as I put the first non-official piece onto something, like as soon as it goes from official to unofficial, like my brain's already like taking the picture out and like modifying it in my brain.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And for all of like my homegrown non-canon. Well, I guess they're all non-canon, but for all the ones that are like straight brand new, like no, as soon as I give the name, like I have the rough design schematics in my head. Like I'm imagining it in 3D and just like tweaking. All right, if I change this out, the arm gets bigger and stuff like that. Like I always have the 3D view as I'm working.
If I'm custom designing, like if I'm just tweaking an existing design to make it better, and say I base it off the Shadowhawk, then yeah, I know what it looks like because I know what a Shadowhawk looks like. And as I change weapons in my head, I know how it's going to look on there. But if I'm doing a completely custom brand new one, sometimes if I'm just making a batch of them, yeah, I don't that I like that. You know, I've got the engineering part down. I need an artist to come by and make it look pretty.
I always am scared to like actually put like what my brain says it is on paper, just because as soon as I solidify it, it's cemented. Like this is how it has to look now. Like if it's in my brain, it's always kind of fluidic. So it's kind of changing. It's not stable. Like sometimes it gets a little taller, wider, thicker, like sleeker. Like it just kind of evolves on how I'm feeling that day, which I think is kind of cool.
Nice.
I definitely think making your own mech, it's something new that you should try once you're like learning the game, just to see, like, try out different things. Like for me personally, I don't like LRMs on mechs, like on the mechs that have them, like as a primary weapon, I should say. So it's kind of fun for me to design, like, all right, what do I need to do to get LRMs on a mech I like, kind of stuff. It's almost like introspective creation.
Yeah, it's a good way to keep thinking about the game when you're not able to actively play the game or talk about the game to someone else. You know, it gives my brain an outlet to just do something game related. In my own quiet free time.
It's also a great way to take a peek under the hood, get a look on the inside, see how the mechs that you like to put on the paper, you know, how they're built.
So what are the basics to mech construction? I mean, for me, I always kind of think of it, it's like fast food, like, welcome to Triple F, have it your way, but don't get crazy, like something fun like that.
Yeah, but I think you should go crazy, at least at the beginning. Like, you should totally go crazy because it's a learning process. You know, you see what works, you see what doesn't. I think everyone custom making mechs should try to just break it, try to come up with a total min-max thing, you know, for the thought experiment alone. Don't expect people to want to play with them on the table unless, you know, you've got some friends who just want to sit around and drink beers and have a crazy game that doesn't mean anything.
The Unlimited series.
I think most of my learning stuff has come from totally going crazy in the design phase.
Really?
Yeah.
What about you? Well, I would ask Dustin.
Yeah. Too, so. I can start answering your original question, which is like, how would you start? I would pick an engine size and a weight class.
Okay. Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah. So I think, you should have an idea of what your mech is going to be doing. I think the names, the roles that are given to the mechs in Alpha Strike and in Classic, Juggernaut, Skirmisher, Light Cavalry, Fire Support, you know, have that in your head. What kind of a mech do I want to make? And then you can pick a speed and then an appropriate weight class, or, you know, an inappropriate weight class. I think I kind of did that with my custom mech, and we'll get to that. And then kind of grow your mech from there, because the engine is, I mean, it's the most expensive part of the mech. It's the bedrock of the mech, the weight and the tonnage and the engine, because you have to know the tonnage and the movement points to get you multiply them together. You want a 5.8, that's 40 tons. You multiply 40 times 5, you get 200. You look at the engine chart, you see, hey, there's my 200 rated engine. It weighs 8.5 tons. So you start there, and then you start adding some other things like your structure, how much your structure weighs, your cockpit, your gyro. And then once you get all that fleshed out, then you can kind of put as much armor on the mech as you have intended for its role. And then the rest is what you're left over, or what you have left over to play with, essentially, you know, weapons and systems and such. I think that's pretty much it. All right. Thank you, podcast Dustin, is over.
Yeah. Thank you, Dustin, for describing in the driest possible way how to build a mech.
I mean, I'm just going to hit it with the analytics because I'm like, I've done this twice and this is literally the process.
I respect the fact that you started using the book from the box set. Like, you did it by hand. And I think that
I did.
I think that everybody should learn how to do it by hand and not just skip to one of the many programs out there that you can use, because knowing how each step works, it just helps. I think it's a very important part of structuring things in your brain so that you know where all this weight is going when you click on that button in the program to add it.
Right. It's like learning how to play Battletech on Mega Mech. You're going to miss half of it. And you're going to miss that half if you go straight to, you know, Mega Mech Lab and you just start pushing all the buttons. And you're like, but why though? Why are those things? Why are those numbers changing? And doing it by hand, longhand, in those steps. Yeah. We'll let you know why those, like, things are happening.
Exactly. And showing my age again, you know, we didn't have computers to do any of this at all. Yeah, exactly. Back in my day, we didn't have any of that. You know, computers were still a pretty cool idea, and a spreadsheet program. You know, this was before Microsoft Office. They didn't have just Excel. Oh, yeah, just open up a spreadsheet. Nope, none of that.
You had to spread your sheet out on your desk.
I literally. I know I've talked about him before, but my friend Dan, he's one of the reasons why I played so much BattleTech, because that was our escape in college, and he would design some mechs. He would actually come up with this series of tables that were this optimal speed weight ratio. It highlighted the most efficient tonnage based on the proper weight for any given speed. And it's super detailed. Like, you know, if you wanted to go 5'8" without an XL, then the weight you choose is 60 tons. Like, that's the weight you choose because it's the most efficient. It gives you the most tonnage to play with, and you know, everything, like all the gyro and all that stuff, the cockpit weight, the internal structure weight, like those were all givens and knowns. And since we didn't have a computer to just say, okay, give us that, to do these tables would just give us things we could just glance at and say, okay, if we're going to make this mech, it's going to be like this, and this is how much weight we have to play with. And it was amazing. Like the tables were so detailed that in that example with the 60-tonner, if you were going to put jump jets on it, the table said, we'll use 55 tons because, you know, the weight is...
1-ton jump jets.
Right. The amount of weight that you lose by going down to 55 tons is negated by the fact that jump jets are only half a ton instead of a ton. Like these tables were amazing. And using them, you know, Dan and I were able to pump out mechs way faster than anyone else just doing it by hand. So thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
He just a very quick anecdote here. He came up with a mech that he called the Piranha. And he came up with this mech in April of 94. And he posted on Rec Games Mecha. And it was a light clan mech that had a crap ton of machine guns that ran around to get in close and blow things up. He also had a version, also posted on the same place, that had a bunch of small lasers made for taking out elementals. It was like an elemental killer.
Oh, no kidding.
September 1995, FASA put out the 3058 with a mech called the Piranha, a light, like 20-ton clan mech that had a crap ton of machine guns. It was not an omni mech, but it also had another version that had a bunch of small or micro lasers used for hunting down elementals.
Do I smell lawsuits in the water?
Well, being the FASA doesn't exist,
companies have used creative license like that since the beginning of time. But no, that's awesome. Awesome, if true.
but the amount of mechs that Dan created, it would not surprise me if coincidentally alone, you know, if you make 1,000 mechs and they're making books with 1,000 mechs, there's going to be some sort of convergence.
Yeah, yep.
But yeah, he did a lot of cool stuff.
Well, like you were saying, you thought, I remember you when we were prefacing or talking about this episode, you were talking about like, oh yeah, I was making all these mechs with APPC, a couple medium lasers, and an SRM-6, and I thought I was so smart.
Everybody, well, they're the efficient weapons back in the 30-25 days. So to custom make a good mech, it had a PPC, maybe, a bunch of medium lasers, and if you're going to go with SRMs, SRM-6, all the efficient weapons.
Yep.
Why? How was your first mech? Was that anything like that?
The first mech I made was, I think it was some sort of 30 or 35 tonner with enough medium lasers to use those heat sinks and machine guns to clean up infantry.
Anti-infantry is a good thing that I like putting into mechs now, but I didn't think about it back in the old days because I didn't play combined arms. Ah. So why? I'm like, why are they putting all these machine guns on? And then I started playing combined arms. I'm like, oh man, I wish I had some machine guns.
Yeah, we'll find out later that 100% of my custom mechs have machine guns.
Maybe not 200 rounds of ammo, but no. Definitely some machine guns.
Easy to do when you've only made two mechs.
So when you're building a mech, what do you start out with? Do you start out with the problem? Are you building backwards? Like, what's your thought process of doing it?
I always think of the role first. I think of a role and I think of how it would fit in a lance or a star, like not how it would be individually, but what role is it, you know, providing overall? And then I want it to be efficient. So I start by picking a speed. You know, how fast do I want this mech to go? What speed range should it be in? And once I have my speed, because of the speed I pick, that tells me what tonnage I want to pick because the speed versus tonnage on that table tells me how much space I have to work with. And there is definitely an optimal weight class for every speed. And I've just done that so often, that's where I start with every single mech. And then I know, like, I've got 42 and a half tons to work with when I've got this guy. So what can I put in there to make him fill the role that I want him to fill?
For me, I definitely start out with, like, I always imagine it kind of like the Pentagon Wars movie with like the Bradley IFV. But I always just imagine somebody in some office, some, you know, military man asking like, I need to solve this problem. And he like writes it down on a napkin and like gives it to an engineer. And then I imagine the engineers all huddling around their water cooler just thinking of how to do it. So I'm like, if I imagine the guy like, I want to kill this specific mech and win 90% of my engagements, then I'm like, okay. And the engineers will like brainstorm and like come up with a different couple ways and I'll work from that. So.
Well, I hope one of your mental engineers is Dan because he's really good at efficiency.
Well, now he is because now I'm just like, oh, this guy designed 1,000 mechs. Yeah, my brain imagination would hire him.
Yeah, the best in his field.
Exactly.
But here's the awesome thing is that none of our ways is wrong. You know, it's just like have fun with it and do what you like because The important part is the only way that you're going to get better at it is to do it more. And I think that everybody should design a handful of custom mechs and they will appreciate mechs, all mechs, custom or official, more for the knowledge.
Yeah, when you're talking about, there's a lot of talk about efficiency here. And I like to design in some inefficiency in 100% of the time or the two times I made a mech. because I don't want it to be terrible, first of all. I don't want it to be an urban mech, but I do want it to have a flaw. You know, a character's more interesting if they have a weakness or a drawback. So
what kind of flaws do you like to put in your mechs? Or do you think that your custom mech should always have some like Achilles heel or something? Or do you think you can build towards a perfect ideal? Like this mech does everything that I want at 100% and will be better than it than any other mech.
Well, the mechs that I've designed so far definitely fit a role, so they don't have a tool for every job. So they're efficient in that respect, but that, you know, I guess in my head I want to make, you know, the logical conclusion is to make a mech that does everything, but I, you know, fight that. And even though that would be inefficient in and of itself, which would make it worthy or not worthy, but it would make it a good mech in my eyes, I guess. You know, like the Shadowhawk that has a weapon for everything.
I was going to mention that. I'm like, so, they tried that. Failed experiment.
You know, I, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, Denim's right. You know, do whatever way you want. Somebody did the same thing. One of the new guys bought the Game of Armor Combat book, and 3 days later on the local Facebook page, he had a Mega Mech Lab quad mech with, like, a, you know, a PPC and some auxiliary weapons, maybe a
medium lasers.
Yeah. A couple of medium lasers, maybe even an SRM-6. You never know. And, somebody from the group was like, oh, quads are really inefficient. And then somebody else from the group was like, don't worry about efficient mechs. Like, and you know, if this quad mech makes you happy, yeah, I think that's what counts. It's the happiness on the inside, the narrative you're creating in your head for your silly mech. Just have fun.
Agreed. Does this mech bring you joy? Then you're doing it right.
If not, it's time to send it away.
Bye-bye. It's the Marie Kondo School of Mech Building.
I bet she would be a great Battletech player.
But no, what about you, Denim? How do you treat the flaws of custom mechs?
Well, I've made a lot of mechs, and I have come to the determination that no matter how much I try, there is no perfect mech. There is no one mech that is just going to be the best. And that's the beauty of it. It really is. I don't ever try to put a flaw in to a mech, but I'm okay with embracing the flaws that it ends up having. Not so much like, I was going to get to this a little bit later, but this seems like a fine place to put it. I really think that some of the writers for the original technical readouts, I think they either intentionally put flaws in the mechs they designed, like not just for flavor, but to make the players think, you know, why did they do that? I can make this better, so that people will want to design their own mechs. And I think just in the process of designing it, a mech will end up with its own flaws anyway. I don't think you should have to intentionally put a flaw in. So I think in some ways they tried a little bit too hard, but in other ways it certainly did make me want to design my own mechs because some of theirs were really, really wrong.
Yeah. So maybe it was as intended, right? Like,
yeah,
again, making you use those construction rules. And
but you can have a lot of fun if you start writing fluff for your mechs and you notice that, you know, there is a problem. Instead of spending hours trying to tweak it over and over again until that flaw is gone, just embrace it. Just say, yep, this is part of this. And here's a little story about you know, why that's significant to this mech.
I mean, when I'm always making a mech, I have the original, like, reason why I'm designing the mech and the what kind of flaw am I going to put in there, because in my brain, nothing is perfect, and its flaw should be just as part of its identity as the reason why it exists.
Right.
So, like, a mech should have a lot of guns, but then it should have, like, really bad heat issues. Like, this has, like, extreme amounts of firepower, no armor, or vice versa. Like, this is maybe only like armor, no guns. So, like, things like the charger, like, that's its identity. It's a fast... If you didn't know anything about the weapons of a charger, you'd think it'd be great until you realize it only has 5 small lasers. It's kind of like, to me, the flaw is just as much a part of the mech as the rest of the mech itself.
And I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, if that's part of your creative design, like I said, go for it. That's what makes you happy. Therefore, you're doing it correct.
Right. Yeah. Dustin, I already know your answer, that you've probably never put a custom mech on the table.
You're correct. No. The one mech I made a while back, I never put it on the table.
It never left the drawing board in engineering terms.
Yeah. If I was good with 3D modeling software, I have a resin printer, that is literally why I don't put my custom mechs on the table. The miniature, having a, you know, quote unquote canon, or for me, a, you know, what you see is what you get miniature for my custom mech design, is why I didn't. And, you know, maybe that more accurately answers the question you asked me earlier. Maybe that's the reason. If I could design all this and I could print it and I could put it on, I would put my customs on the table. But I can't. And I just love the miniature so much. It's literally 50% of the hobby for me. So
You can't hook up your imagination to a printer, so that's what's holding you back.
Yeah, I'd have to learn how to use Fusion or whatever that is hip to make mechs in, and I just don't have the time for that right now. So.
Man, I want you guys to have to go back to in my day when all we had was a bunch of cardboard foldouts. That's it. There were no minis. Cardboard foldouts.
Those were dark days.
It's not
or
the
they
same.
Were brilliant days.
It's not the same.
Hey, the game has grown, and I love it. So I hope it keeps growing.
So yes, for me, no customs. I have not put my own customs on the table. I've played against them. I like the fluff, and I kind of like canon variants. I will not play somebody who brings customs, but you know, I will definitely play somebody who brings custom mechs to the table. That's my experience with customs on the tabletop. Typically, it's fine. You know, maybe it's different for you guys, but when somebody's like, hey, is it cool if I bring this custom stuff? You're like, okay, I'm preparing myself for a little bit of cheese because, you know, like we can't help ourselves, even me, right? Like you want to make a decent mech. You don't want to make a really bad mech. So, but battle value kind of helps with the cheese a little bit. So I'm imagining it could have been worse back in the day when folks were balancing by tonnage instead, and there was no battle value. But yeah.
Yeah, it was either tonnage or cost. Like, how much did the mech cost? And an XL would ruin that. Like, it's just ruin it. Yeah. Battle value, it's not perfect, but it really does. If somebody can bring me a sheet of a mech that they made in a known program like Solaris Skunk Works or Mega Mech Labs, and it has the battle value at the accurate battle value printed on it, then I'm much more inclined to let them use a custom mech. But if they just walk up with a piece of paper where they hand did it, and
there's no battle value.
Yeah, I would hesitate. I would say there are times when we will play games like this, but this isn't, you know, perhaps you can't just walk in and use it. This is something that should be planned ahead of time, and then I'm fine with it because, you know, then it won't matter. It will be designed for the cheesiest of cheese.
Right.
I've heard it described that mechs are less stat lines and more like RPG characters. And it's kind of like introducing homebrew stuff. So you have to get it cleared with the DM first before you can use your homebrew. Like,
agreed.
Most of the time he's going to be fine, but you should still just politely make sure it's like, hey, no, this dragonborn warrior can fly like naturally and speak all languages, and anyone he touches has a chance of dying. Yeah, like that's not the same, but it's still in that train of thought that you have to kind of respect the table, respect your opponent, of course, and be like, all right, is this mech going to enhance both of our times, or is it just like, is it only serving the purpose of making me win faster?
Exactly. Like, why is this person designing a custom mech? Is it because they found a loophole that they just want to win and you know, just mash the win button? Or are they honestly like have a good idea for a design and are just wanting to try it out? One, I am willing to entertain the possibility of bringing in a custom mech. The other one, I am not.
Exactly.
How about you, Josh? What's your experience with the customs on the tabletop?
So I've only brought the one custom against you and your brother, and that was a 2v1. And I was like, you know, I was still pretty new, and I was kind of looking at inspiration. And I was like, well, let's recreate the monster from Macross. You know, four big ballistic guns.
You're right. I remember this now.
Yeah. It's coming back to
me. It came back to me.
Yeah,
that thing was nasty.
Yeah, 100 tons. Four ballistics. I think I put light gosses on it and SRMs. And I parked it on a hill and I just like bombarded y'all from, you know, 15 hexes away. Yeah, no, it was very much like, this is a artillery support. I remember I got like a Banshee or something like through the cockpit, like with two shots. And it was just like in my brain, I was imagining like just the nickel metal slug just going straight through and the mech just falling over. But I mean, it technically did kill two mechs, and I know your brother was not happy. He's like,
he
was not happy. Just in my like years of experience, I'm like, there are mechs that are almost exactly the same as this. Like the new, what is it, the Malice, which is four AC5s. So
there is a there is a variant of the Rifleman. I think it's an assault variant, I think, for the Amaris Usurper or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's got quad Gauss. It's got four Gauss rifles. Yeah.
So
heavy, slow.
I was building something custom, but it wasn't something that was completely unique because there are hundreds and hundreds of mechs and 10 times more number of variants. And most of the time, there's nothing that you can make that is so completely out there that it doesn't exist with some like different color scheme or faction
or slightly
use.
Different.
Exactly.
Back in my day.
Back in my day, we made brand new mechs.
Like, I can imagine someone like, this is my custom mech, and they're like, oh, that's just a Lament 3 or something. Like, like, wait, what? And you're like, yeah, I know, you've got the two heavy PPCs and the coolant pods. Like, that's literally the same mech. Are you serious? I spent weeks building this. So, I mean, you kind of have to look at it like that. But I enjoyed using it. It was kind of fun because we all know what the mechs look like art-wise. And, like, that was kind of recreating something that had art. And, like, I could see it moving on the table. So it was really fun for that. I don't know if it was pre-approved, but I definitely, like, hey, I can take this. That's
no, you
custom,
definitely, you definitely
or
ask.
I can take this, which is, you know, like a battle master. Like, they're the same BV, so it's like, I can, if you're okay with this, I will play with it. If you're not, then I will play with this. It has no effect on my enjoyment of the game.
I wanted to see it on the table.
I wanted to see what four Gauss rifles will do.
In one of my early CDT games, somebody did come up with a custom mech, but I think it was just based on a Marauder. It was like a Marauder with slightly different weapons. So I totally let them play it, but yeah, I have been known to just allow people with custom mechs, but it has to fit. You know, it can't have any of the crazy weapons that don't go with the rest of the scenario.
Yeah. Oh, timeline and et cetera.
Yeah.
Oh, then y'all wouldn't be friends with me for some of my customs.
Hey, if we're doing that timeline, you know, you want to do a Solaris type of free-for-all, you know, experimental, you know, melee madness, sure, bring whatever. I'm down.
My favorite mechs are all from, like, the experimental TROs, and they're like, yeah, this mech had technology that was, like, one use only, never existed again. And I'm like, I love it. It's mine. It's perfect. Mongoose Gunslinger. Like, no, you don't need two active camos. You're not the boss of me, Mom.
I do what I want.
So we've talked, like, using them on the table, but so where are the places for custom mechs? Like, so would you consider a custom mech in, like, a regular campaign?
Okay, so I guess it depends. Like, I do a lot of RPG campaigns. Mm-hmm. And if you're the GM and you've got some players, that can be a really great, awesome storyline. You know, they capture their own mech construction facility. I wouldn't let them put out like an army of their own designs, but they could come up with, you know, a design and say, okay, this is your mercenary group's like mech, and we had it build that. You could have a whole bunch of cool story things go on with that. And the beauty of a campaign, though, is that it's not balanced, and it's not supposed to be balanced for an RPG campaign. You know, when you've got a game master, you're supposed to have heroes and everybody else. So I think there's a lot more leeway with that. The other type of campaign would be like you go to the gaming store and you have a persistent thing going on, you know, where your damage matters. And other people coming into play are pretty much the same people every time. And it's just like an ongoing series of battles to do something. In that case, I'm not sure how much a custom mech would fit in that sort of campaign. I'd say the closer you're going to balance, the more dangerous a custom mech can be.
Yeah, because it can run wild and kind of become its own.
Right.
What about you, Dustin? Would you allow a custom mech in a campaign, like weekly, you know, chaos campaign kind of stuff?
If I was really trying to bring a new player in, maybe. But if I was playing with, if it was my campaign, probably not. Just because I want to see the mechs in my head and on the table.
What about a custom variant then?
Yeah, I would consult the appropriate rules on field refits, and you know, there are systems in place. I get rules lawyer-y with that. You know, if you want to switch your AC-20 out for an LRM-20, like it's that's not easy. You got to go to the factory for that. If you want to,
well, there's only a 3-letter difference in that. They both have 20s. Yeah.
If you want to drop your medium laser and add, you know, 16 points of armor, like that's a field refit, I think.
Yeah. All right, Dustin. If I take my dragon to you and I say I want these rear facing medium lasers to point front, you okay with that?
I mean, I would take pity on the design that is the dragon one in, I believe it is, and I would of course allow that. So I guess it's case by case. There you go, case by case basis.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at that BV, you know.
Yeah,
because that's where it'll break it.
For me, I definitely would consider for like a campaign much more of like a field refit kind of thing. I don't know if the true fresh from the ground custom would be kind of the place, unless it's like that's kind of what your campaign is about. Like if you're doing like, we all work for like New Avalon Institute of Science and you're like test pilots and you get attacked and now you're on the run. Like if that's the kind of the story that you want,
yes,
then it makes perfect sense. If it's like, no, you're on the battlefield on the front line and you've got to hold this planet for like 6 weeks worth of games, like you're going to have like your regular old grasshopper. And
right,
when your LRM-5 gets blown out, like, and you don't have the money to repair it, but you've got a stack of SRM-2s, like that makes more sense.
Yeah. Actually, I like that. I didn't even think about that. I like that a lot. Like if it's just, if you're talking customs as in just different variants, like custom variants of a mech, and they have something more than like a drop ship to repair their mechs, if they have an actual repair facility.
Yeah.
I think that's like for a campaign, I think that's a fine idea. I would have no problems with that. You know, obviously with a few caveats.
Right. If your player's like, hey, you know, I have the internal structure slots and endo steel is free money. Like that's going to make my head explode because you're literally changing the skeleton.
Correct.
Yeah.
So no. I think an endo steel internal structure, I think lore wise has to be made in like a zero gravity space foundry or something like that. Like it's got some serious stuff behind it. You don't just create that on a planet.
So that's campaigns, but what about like the regular every Wednesday or every Friday free play or pickup games?
Free play, that's the place for custom X. When you're like, okay guys, next Wednesday we're just doing like you know, bring your own custom mech, let's have some fun. And assuming everybody is totally cool with that, like that is the prime shining place for a custom mech. I'll take any type, any kind, I don't care what, you know, you bring it.
Yeah, if you give me a box to work within, like we're making this much BV with this much mechs and just have fun in this era, I would love to do it on a pickup game night. As once again, pre-arranged, you know, talk to your DM, as you said, Josh.
No, I mean, definitely. I would try to let you know, like, when we're planning the game, like 24 hours or more in advance, like, hey, I'm going to bring a custom mech, and I slide you the sheet, you know, in advance, like, are you okay with this? Like, because, like I said, you're not just playing a nobody that you don't care about. Like, you want them to have fun, so you want to make sure it's kind of pre-approved.
See, that's dangerous right there, Josh. If you slide me a mech and you're like, are you okay with this? I will glance at it and my brain will already be trying to start on working on a counter to that mech. So you should just say, are you okay with custom mechs of this era? And that's where you should leave it, because then it will be a fair fight.
What is it? List build or tech your list to counter mine? Like,
and it won't be intentional. Like, my brain just does that.
I'm just hyper-competitive and must find all weaknesses on the table.
It's a problem. It's the whole CDT thing where I'm teaching people how to play. It was a fight mentally to begin with, to not just win every time. Like, that's not what this is about. You know, this is about teaching them.
Oh man, winning every time. I haven't done that in a long time. We're just looking for a win now, boys. But yeah, so yeah, I definitely agree that custom mechs probably fit most comfortably in the free play pickup games. Like, as long as everyone knows what you're kind of coming with, like, you just kind of have to let that other person be aware. Hey, do we want to open this up to anything? Or are you trying to, what are you looking to get out of this game? If they approve, then, you know, go wild, have fun.
Yep.
Remember, Jimbo, have fun with it. Now for the big one. So what are your thoughts on using custom mechs in competitive, like, tournaments or round robin? Who's the best mech warrior in the gaming group?
I don't think any of us are going to argue about this one.
Yeah, I would. It's difficult enough to, you know, try to, you want in a tournament setting, everybody to have a chance at winning. And I think my tournament is about who's the best battle tech, you know, battle mech manager.
Not the best battle mech builder.
Right. You know, as unless it was a custom battle mech tournament, but I don't, man.
If it's a custom battle mech tournament, you can't, like, it, that's a whole different beast than a regular tournament, because people are, if you make it as serious as a regular tournament, people are going to be very frustrated and upset when somebody comes in with this mech that's obviously questionable, that only won because nobody was expecting it, not because it was actually good.
Oh yeah, that too.
So if they're going in saying this is a custom tournament, this is a no holds barred, this is just going to be crazy, then people aren't going to take it as seriously, or most people aren't.
Probably, right.
So there's going to be less frustration and tension at the end of it. So,
and there's we talk about efficient battle mech builds, but the one thing we haven't talked about when it comes to efficiency is there is a BV efficiency, and some people very quickly start figuring out, you know, how do I min-max, not my mech, but my battle value, my damage and armor per battle value. Like, that's a whole other set of spreadsheets that we haven't even talked about and that I don't frankly know anything about. But
right. Battle value is designed to go one direction. You're supposed to look at a mech and calculate its battle value. You weren't supposed to look at battle value and then build a mech around it. Because you're right, there are ways to definitely game that, and that's why it would come
out of the woodwork, I think, if you made a BV balance tournament, right? Like with customs,
yeah. And then who's going to be the one to check over all of the custom?
Oh Lord.
Submissions beforehand. I do not volunteer for that job.
I'll be the naysayer here and be like, I would allow it. I would allow only like one mech can be custom.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't say all four just because like that'd be insane. Like you could design like your perfect brawler, perfect, you know, scout, perfect. Like that would be a little too much in my opinion, but I would not be completely like up in arms if they were like you can take one custom mech or one modified variant up to this level with like some restrictions, like that one mech must not be more than 30% of your BV total or something. Just something small. Like some people like their favorite mech and just like, oh, it would be better or I could handle it more if blah, like take this off at least or something. Just tweak it.
Yeah, I'd rather do that with the pickup games first. Yeah. I'd have to know the people who are going to be at the tournament.
Yeah.
To know if I was going to have a problem with that or not.
I will say though that I would prefer it be like a Solaris style tournament where it's a no holds bar kind of thing.
I'm down with that. Can we do that?
Exactly. I really am. And everyone knows that. Okay, you don't know what you're going to see, so you're building mechs either to show them off or you're building them to like try to win against everyone else's hyper efficient or hyper lore twisted mech. And
I would 100% be on board with that.
That kind of answers that question. But would you have any like restrictions if you're playing someone with a custom mech, do you have any like reservations? Like I'll play this, but it's got 12 large pulse lasers and can we not do that? or, hey, this is a clan intersphere mixed tech, and I'm not really kind of looking for that right now.
Yeah, it, like I said, as long as it's stated beforehand what the parameters are, I don't think that there should be any restrictions, you know, related to those parameters.
What about you, Dustin? Are there like custom mechs that you can imagine yourself never wanting to fight? Because you've fought a bunch of custom mechs. I mean, we have friends that play stuff like that.
Yeah. I haven't.
I've seen some feel bads go your direction. So.
I want to see maybe less than 50% of the arsenal composed of clan large pulse lasers. But other than that, especially if they're tied to targeting computers. But
you know, there's official mechs that are like that too. So
I know.
That's the problem. Yep. Now, I guess the one of my restrictions, thinking about it, one of my restrictions would be anything that slows the game down artificially too much, like only LB20Xs or only SRM2s, a bunch of SRM2 streaks.
I've got one. Because LRM5s produce a little bit more heat.
Oh, yeah, they're so efficient.
But they're lighter. I'm like, yeah, well, that's cool. Yeah. But after you roll two hits on six pairs of LRM5s and then roll three on the cluster chart over and over and over and over again. Yeah. Like, let's not do that.
Yeah. That would be my one restriction, would be stuff like that, that just makes the game grind to a halt. Yeah.
Only a bushwhacker amount of LRM5s on a mech, please.
And I believe that's three.
It's two.
Okay. Two. Yep. ER large, two LRM5s, and an AC-10. Yeah. LB-10X?
Yeah, it might be LB. You're right.
Once you go above 10, it has like those two LRM5s just like smush together and become an LRM-10. Reverse mitosis, essentially.
It's fusion.
Exactly. Well, when you put 40 LRM5s together, some of them are just going to smush and become LRM-15s.
Just going to happen. They start talking to each other. Yeah.
There's not really anything that I would say that I would never play against, like even the clan ERPBC or with a targeting computer and AES, like something weirdly stupid, like -2 to hit, or I have a pulse laser, targeting computer, AES, and, you know, a 0-2 pilot. Okay. That's maybe pushing it just because, like, I want -5 to hit. Like, come on.
-5 to hit. Yeah.
All right. What are you actually wanting out of this game kind of comes up. And that's my big thing. It's like, why are you doing this? Like, are you just trying to see how efficient you can be? Because if that's the case, then let me know ahead of time and I'll bring my efficient counters. But if you're just like, no, this is my custom mech and I wanted like a really good sniper, so it has like one gun that hits really well, I'm like, that's fine. But something like a no armor AC-20 that's jumping, you know, 10 hexes with a 0-0 pilot, like, that's a feel bad. Like, that's not what I'm looking for. Does anyone have anything else on mech construction and the vibe?
I think the only other thing would be after you've designed 20 or 30 mechs, you know, you start getting comfortable with it. And I think the next step is designing an entire Lance or Star made to work together. You know, the challenge then is to changes or issues with one mech can affect all the other mechs in the Lance, requiring you to tweak those. So it's like taking that puzzle that you and I do to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, it's that can be really, really fun and satisfying when you have a great Lance, like one that's designed so well that you could lose any one of your four mechs without much loss of efficiency because of like roll overlap and stuff like that. That's a lot of fun. And I enjoy that even more than just designing a single mech these days.
Well, I have to design at least two more mechs before I can think on that level.
Because then you'll have a whole Lance that you've designed.
I will say I have not designed custom vehicles yet. I've done custom infantry, but I have not done vehicles.
I just took the Great Death Legion infantry for Intersphere or standard elementals. That's where I get stuck with.
I was like, I want jump infantry with this specific laser rifle that was only found in this year. Yeah.
Was it an experimental laser rifle?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, Josh,
and Mega Mech Lab has all of that stuff.
Yeah,
it has that specific light rifle.
I was like, if they didn't want me to do it, they wouldn't have given me the tools to do it.
Exactly.
So now that we've talked about all the different things that we like doing to build mechs, I know, Denim, you've mentioned you liked, you had done all of your paper designing for mechs. So let's talk about some of our favorite programs to do it.
Like back in college, we finally got one called the drawing board, but that was super basic and sucked. These days, I use Mega Mech Lab. I like Mega Mech Lab mostly because Catalyst uses it for all of their official TROs. So not only do your mech sheets look official and look like, you know, just like the ones that you can photocopy out of the books, but because Catalyst uses it, they have everything in there. They have every mech, they have every vehicle, they have every type of infantry, they have every aerospace unit, even boats and dropships and jump ships. So it's hard to go anyplace else when you know that A, everything's in there, and B, it's kept up to date because that's what the company uses.
That's good to know. I did not know that Catalyst used Megalab. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any paid ones except maybe
Heavy Metal Pro was a paid one that I actually paid for at one time.
Yep. It's still licensed too, I guess. Maybe not.
Well, I don't use it anymore, so yeah.
There you go.
How about you, Dustin? Do you have a particular one that you like for your two mechs?
Yeah, for my two mechs, one was entirely paper. So paper's a great program. It's free. Well, actually, it's not, but
it's not.
It doesn't require electricity. We'll say that.
Yeah. There you go. You can do it when the power's out. So my second mech was 50% paper. And then when it came to putting crits in places, I used Solaris Skunk Works. It's just what I grew up on, so to speak. Like it's the one that was recommended to me way back in, 2017 when I was just starting BattleTech. And so I'm just familiar with the user interface. So that's the one I use. As far as I could tell, it does a decent job.
It was the bigger program before Mega Mech Lab came around.
Yeah.
But the problem with it was that for a long time, it was just not supported anymore. So Unlike Mega Mech Lab, all the stuff wasn't in there. Yeah. However, since the Kickstarter blew up, people have gotten interested in it again. And what I hear is that Solaris Skunk Works has been severely updated in a big way.
Yeah, they put all the new junk in there. So as far as I know, I find Dark Age and... I find Dark Age mechs in Solaris Skunk Works now, which I, like you were saying, I didn't used to be able to. So I had like new tech, new upgrades, and TRO 40, 31, 45, because they weren't in there. I could have just gotten Mega Mech Lab, but oh well, I have the TROs now, so
it's not too late.
Yep.
How about you, Josh? What do you use?
Well, I started out using MechWarrior Online, and like literally the in-game interface, and I was like,
you can build an illegal mech that way.
Exactly. Like, all right, let's see. And I would just choose the tonnage, and I'd like put all the stuff in, and like, is this like, does it look like a fun build? Like that was literally where I started. And then I will say this, when I was a kid, like playing like Mech Commander 2 and Mech Warrior 4, I didn't actually build any mechs. Like that was just not something that me did. Yeah, no.
I was tweaking mechs. I played Mech Warrior 4, Vengeance, and Mech Warrior 2. I remember I have fond memories of being like 7 years old, emptying out a Stone Rhino on Mech Warrior 2.
Yes.
And loading it with PPCs, shooting them all, and then the mech blew up, and I had no idea why.
I designed a lot in Mech Warrior 2. Yeah. I custom all the way.
Yep.
Yeah. Like for some reason,
it
wasn't the part of me. Like, yeah. Did the little stuff, but I would throw weapons on, but it was only like, this is looks cooler on the screen. Like, I remember Mech Commander 2, I'd replace a bunch of my LRMs with like swarm LRMs because they had the area of damage effect, and I was like, that's cooler. I like looking at that. I like literally didn't care anything else. Like, I used Mech Warrior Online's in-game interface. then
I it's creative. I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot.
I was limited by the technology of my time. And also because this was before I was actually playing tabletop Battletech, and I was not aware of Solaris Skunkworks until I played more MechWarrior Online, and that was like, oh, just use Solaris Skunkworks to build them. I was like, okay. So then I used that app for a long time, and then me and Dustin started playing Dark Age. At that time, they weren't updating, so I wasn't able to find sheets for some stuff.
Yeah.
So that's when I went to Megamech, and by that point, we were playing Megamech games. So I'm not tied down to any program. I just go where I'm kind of feeling that day.
Like, yeah.
They both fit on my flash drive. I think Solaris Skunkworks might be a little bit smaller just because it's just for mechs, at least the one I have.
Is there anything for mobile for, you know, when you're on your lunch break?
I think there's a mobile for Android phones, but I don't have an Android phone, so I've never used it. But I think that one of the programs has a mobile app.
I'll do some digging.
But Android only.
The key is really just go wherever you want. There's not really a wrong answer to any of these. Each one's going to be a little different in how it works, but they really kind of look the same at a glance to me.
So. Exactly. Do what you're comfortable with, whatever works for you. As long as you're designing mechs, you're doing it right.
Exactly. Paper, computer, paying someone else to do it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, get Dan to do it for you.
Exactly.
Nice.
All right, that's a good time to take a little bit of a break and hear a word from our sponsors.
I have one question for you. Are you ready? Are you ready for this Sunday night when Solaris champion Matt Balcombe defends his title in the Solaris Super Slam? Say goodbye to anyone standing in Matt Balcombe's way. We take some six mechs at a steel stadium, shoots and ladders match in the Solaris Super Slam. As Matt Balcombe fights his way to the top in his Battlemaster. Right now, you can own this awesome pay-per-view holodisc for just $59.99. Call now and receive not one, but two extra holodiscs of Matt Balcombe's rise to the top and highlights in the arena.
I'd like to thank all of our Patreon supporters who let us keep doing these episodes, and especially these fun in-universe commercials. If you want to support us, you can find us at patreon.com/themechbaypodcast. All right, and we are back. Our objective for this week was each of us would come to the table with their own custom mech, and we'd kind of work through the process of what we were doing to build it, just to show that we can talk shop, but also shop the shop.
That's right. So, shop the shop. I like it.
We all brought a mech, and the only restrictions I placed was keeping in our pre-clan invasion theme and using like Lost Tech. That was the only thing. Like, Star League up to 3049, essentially. So I will go first. So my mech is called the Greyhound, the GRY-17X, and it's 65 tons. It's got a 6'9 with a mask, so it's 6'12 walking running. It's got two AMS, a large pulse laser, two medium pulse lasers, two streak SRM2s, and a medium laser, and just 10 double heat sinks. It's a XL, it's ferrofibrous and endosteel with no other crazy bells and whistles for a balmy 1581 BV.
I like that I see zero roll again slots.
I know, I noticed that too. There are no open crit spots.
No, and that was actually the very fun thing working for it. I had to take out the hand to put the large pulse laser in.
So nice.
I did notice that. Yeah, I was like, this mech has no extra room in it. I don't want to call it a thick boy, but it's definitely space efficient.
Yeah.
It could be more efficient, though.
Ooh. How was that? All right.
Well, I love your loadout. Like you know me, I'm not much of a pulse laser guy, but you're fast enough that you'll be able to use all of those pulses at good ranges. Mm-hmm. You do have an XL engine, so you know that's the trade-off. You either want to go fast or you want to be able to take punishment, and you're opting for the speed. However, looking from my experience, just looking at your armor diagram, I noticed that you are not maxed out on armor.
Oh goodness, no. No, I have 10 tons of ferro.
And I believe a 65-ton mech maxes out at 12 tons. However, I also noticed that you're a 65-ton mech. You don't happen to have it open in one of your programs, do you?
No, but I play around with enough stats that I can remember which variant. Anything you say, I did the variant for, and I want to know which way you're going.
Here's the thing. If you take that and you've got it open in Solaris Skunk Works or Mega Mech Lab, and you take the tonnage and you drop it to 60, nothing will change except you will have two more tons to play with.
Even with the XL engine?
Even with the XL engine.
Interesting.
In fact, specifically because it's an XL, I happen to be looking at the table that Dan showed, and I'm looking at, so you're a 6.9 mech, and if you go down the table, a 60-tonner will give you 30.5 tons of free space. A 65-tonner will give you 28.5 tons of space. So you can actually max out the armor for a 60-ton mech, which is 11.5 tons, and still have another ton left over. Now, you don't have any crit spaces, so you could either add another double heatsink or turn that other medium laser you've got into a medium pulse laser. But it does give you, just dropping it down to 60 tons will give you two more tons to play with for free.
Damn it.
Damn it. You can't mess with Dan's sheets.
I know. The proof is in the pudding.
Oh, that's awesome.
But loadout-wise, I love it. Efficiency-wise, you could do it just a little better.
Oh, man. Well, efficiency was not my super thought, so... My thought process building this mech was, I was like, okay.
Yeah, what's the role?
What's the, quote, the fan fiction for this? So I was like, all right, who's asking me to build a mech? And I'm like, all right, who are you? You're Comstar. And I just imagined.
Always.
Yeah. I just imagined the Precentor Marshall walking down and asking an engineer. It's like, I need a fast mech. How fast do you want it? I want it real fast. Right. Do you know what role or tonnage or what other things do you want on the menu? And he's like, I want it fast. I want to get up in their face and I don't care about anything else. And I was like, okay. And I just imagine the engineers running back, looking through everything. And they're like, well, what if we took the Wolfhound and the Panther and just made our version of that?
Ooh.
And
you just add them together.
And yeah, like imagine in your mind, listeners, that it looks like a 65-ton Wolfhound or Panther. Like literally just the guy that has the two memes and smushes them together like fusions. Like that's really all it is. Got the large pulse laser in the same right hand. I was like, the Panther's got the PPC. The Wolfhound has the ER large laser. Let's do the opposite and do something short range. And originally I tried putting the Gauss rifle on it. Didn't work, too heavy. So
yeah, but you're such a fast mech. Like I think the large pulse is I like that better.
Yeah. So yeah, and I was like, well, I want this mech to be very fast. I don't want it to have good armor because I want it to be like a light anti-light mech hunter, like something that gets dropped off on the planet with the rest of the forces fighting, and like he's like full speed running around and like I'm finding the command mech. I'm finding scouts that are trying to do the exact same thing, but their scout mechs are like 35 tons and this guy's 65 tons. I want him to be like 90% of the time he kills the light mech he finds.
I am glad that you did not put case in it, because if you have an XL engine, there's really no point. So that's another ton that you would have and two crit spots that you would have wasted. So the fact that you did not put case in there, I approve of that.
Yeah. And that kind of went into like my naming convention. I was like, all right, fast mech, all that. Let's go with the Greyhound, because those dogs are extremely fast. They are extremely fragile. They have no heat management. They are brutal when they run. They do all of that. And they've got like, they're a hyper efficient, one of the fastest things on the planet, but my God, they could not like win anything in a fight for like more than 2 seconds. So they've got like, they hit you like this mech, I imagine, like is running and like it'll find like a medium or small. It'll just charge into it. It can take out six flights of missiles with two AMSs, and then it's it. Like it's taking every shot, and it does not have the armor to like last in a stand up fight. It doesn't even have the heat to shoot all its weapons. So
and then you fail your mask roll and it's lame and you have to put it down.
Exactly. I was like, I want the flaws to be just as much of the personality of the mech as the, you know, the design role. Yeah, I really like it. this is one that I've kind of worked around before. Like, I kind of envisioned it as a light mech, and then I was like, I've built enough light mechs in my brain that I was like, let's build a heavy mech that thinks it's a light mech. So, and this is what I came up with.
Well, I like it.
No,
I do.
I might drop it down to 60 tons now.
If you want that medium laser to be a medium pulse, yeah. Yeah, I would.
I can't believe it. But
yeah, but that's just on my, like yours is just, it was so close. It was just a 65 going down to a 60. So that's not bad at all.
To see what you have.
Yeah, originally I was like, how fast is fast? And I was like, do I go for 6.9 or do I go for 7.11? And I think for the other things I was doing, 65 was the max to use. And I was like, well, that sized engine is in the Exterminator, which they also have in Comstar, and they had a bunch of those, and it's just an engine swap of something they already have. So I was like, they could use all this. It's not using weird like tech they wouldn't have had.
Yeah. If you wanted to do a 7.11 with an XL engine, you'd want to make it 50 tons.
Yeah. And I didn't want to go that light. But so Dustin, what about you? Let's dive into your fan fiction brain.
I'm very interested to see what the Dan's chart has to say, because I'm pretty sure I picked, and this was kind of intentional, a very inefficient movement profile and tonnage, mostly because the impetus for this design was that I, especially in the pre-clan invasion era, I don't think there's a 40 tonner I like. I hate most of them. I haven't really vetted that statement. I haven't checked all of my variants, my post, you know, helm core recovery, you know, cicadas and gosh, what else? Clint's, is a Clint a 40 tonner? I think it is, you know, assassins, etc. So I wanted a 40 tonner. So I started with that. I wanted it to be kind of slow, but not super slow, because it is a lighter mech. It has to be able to generate a TMM. So I put junk jets on it. So I have a 40 ton mech. It's a 585. It's sporting a standard 200 rated engine to make it a little more durable. We've got ferrofibrous and endosteel. So a little expensive in that respect. I also wanted the mech to be kind of cheap, and engines are expensive. Like, I think the Cicada's engine, I mean, well, I don't think. I know it's huge, and it's one of the reasons that that mech is expensive. Ferrofibrous, endosteel, double heat sinks, 10 double heat sinks, because that's a free upgrade. You know, quote unquote free. You pay for all of this stuff in battle value. But yeah, it's a free upgrade. Even though at that engine size, you have to put a couple of the heat sinks in the actual internal structure area of the, or sorry, the critical slots of the mech. I've got three medium pulse lasers on the right torso, two machine guns in the right torso, and one large pulse laser in the right arm. So this mech's role. Yeah, I love dead sighting a mech on, you know, any MechWarrior Online or MechWarrior 5. So I dead sighted my, that's not as effective on the tabletop, but you know, it's my mech that makes me happy.
What do you mean by dead sighting?
So there's nothing in the left side. So this,
it's all
like literally dead side.
it's a shield. You know, if you want to get hit, you get hit there. So like in MechWarrior Online, you, every time you'd turn and fire, you'd immediately turn torso twist again so that the dead side would be against them, absorbing all the damage. But in tabletop, like, you'd have to be very mobile to get that one side there, and it doesn't work as well.
Unfortunately, but you know, in my head canon, you know,
but it's a cool idea.
A beefy left side, you know, and it's bristling on the right side. I mean, it doesn't have literally nothing. There's double heat sink in the left torso and a junk jet, so you know, you would lose that. I got the large pulse laser in the right arm because I do want to be able to, you know, do that torso twist and then have the right arm firing arc pointing directly behind the mech. There is still a dead zone. It's off to the left side in the rear arc, but yep, I've got that all covered. And I imagine this mech being a cheap force multiplier for your standard line Lance, your 50 tonners and your 55 tonners. This is just their little brother. He can keep up with them. He can scrum with them. I don't have max armor because you lose tonnage. You can't always use all of the armor. So I think it drops down from, I think the max you can mount based on the internal structure is like 137 points. So you drop that down to 134 points. So it's got almost max armor for a 40
tonner. Yeah, I would never waste a half a ton on just 2 points of armor.
Right. So saying all that, it has a battle value of 1,124 points. Josh, yours was 1,581. We didn't touch on that. And it also costs 3.4 million C-bills, which is
cheap.
It's dirt cheap. It's dirt cheap. This is like a less crappy urban mech. You know, it's a real, I mean, you know,
what, this is a
you know
good urban mech if you're relating it to an urban mech.
you're really fast for an urban mech.
Yeah, that's
true. I wouldn't consider this like in the same even like gene pool as the urban mech.
Oh, man.
Right. So it's far cheaper than an assassin. It's even cheaper than, I think it's much cheaper than, I want to say like a hunchback is a million more or something like that. Or I think it's a Wolverine. A Wolverine costs like 1.2 million more than this mech. And a Wolverine would win in a fight with this mech. But yeah, it's got pulse lasers and it's got, I think, the movement to close. It's got the large pulse, which, you know, range 10 isn't very far, but it's far enough. This is, you know, a little bit of Gundam tech. You got the pulse lasers and the jump jets, you know.
But no beam saber.
Yeah, I know. And machine guns, because if in its role, I feel like it would occasionally have to do some infantry work. So,
yep.
And it always helps to have them on there. No case. That's a risk. But you remember, the right torso is full of stuff to not, you know,
that's a tactic right there. Yep. You know,
so
keep
it's
it under
crit.
50%.
Yeah, it's crit padded. I've got 1/2 ton of machine gun ammo in there, and I've got 10 crits total. So I have a 1 in 10 chance if that right torso is, if we're rolling for crit location.
If you're like, that's one thing I have not decided on. If you've only got like a little bit of ammo like this, where you've got 100 rounds of machine gun ammo and that's it, I don't know if it's better, and no case, if it's better to just put that in the center torso where it's more armored, or put that in one of the legs where it gets hit less.
Oh yeah.
You put it in the head like a real rant.
I have seen that, and it works, because it is the least hit place.
True.
And if you do get a crit, it's still a 1 in 6 that you'd hit that crit. And if you've got been hit in the head, you're already in a bad spot. So if you've only got one thing of ammo, the head is not a bad idea.
Yeah. Although you go from a 1 in 6 chance of, you know, critting out the cockpit to a 50% chance, i.e. you've got two, or is that a 33%?
Those guys always find the pilot. Don't hit yourself.
always three. So
it does. It doubles the percent. It's not 50%. It's 33.
Okay. But 33%.
Yeah. Still doubles it.
So what is 2 and 6? I'm really excited. What does Dan's chart have to say about? Yeah, what do you guys think?
Okay,
about
the mech first of all, this is the mech is cool. I like the backstory that you came up with in your head before you even started building it. Uh-huh. Like I really love that. The fact that you're going for cheap, like as cheap as you can, that defeats the purpose of the table. The table is not about what is cheap. The table is about what is efficient. Your mech is not efficient by any means, but it is cheap.
It's efficiently like, cheap.
Your mech is 3.4 million C-bills. I think mine is just over 8 million, and Josh's is 17.6 million.
Woo!
So,
I mean, they got the money to spend, right?
I did actually put cost into like my building. I was like, what are the flaws? What are this? And I was like, all right, this is a one-off. Like, the precentor marshal is not looking for a lance of these. He's looking for one mech. And he's like, I can either buy like 5 mechs that'll do the job, okay? Or I can put all that money into one. So,
oh, I forgot to mention, this is the claw drubber, by the way, the KLD-0030, mostly because I like the way the King Crab is numbered. And this is the third iteration, but first to production.
Nice. So
that's the 3-0.
Nice. I'm very boring when it comes to my naming, but I'll tell you, I'll go over that. Dan's chart for efficiency. Yeah. All right. you go 5-8, but you also have jump jets.
Yes.
So a 585 needs to be 55 tons to be the most efficient. So basically, you're giving up 5.5 tons of usable space.
Wow.
By making it 40 tons.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got less armor to go with it, you know?
Yeah. So you'd be able to, you could use all of that tonnage for armor if you wanted to, or you could use it for more weapons, but it would still go the same speed.
Mm-hmm. But then it would,
but be, it would also be more expensive
and more expensive in BV and cost.
Yeah. Not too much in BV if you're not changing the weapons, really? Like a little bit, okay. A little bit, but not a whole lot, but the cost would, you know, that it is a more expensive engine.
Yeah, because you'd be going from a 200 rated to not 320.
I was going to say 325, maybe 320. Maybe not, maybe 315. I don't remember.
320, I think, is that sounds right off the top of my head, which is, that's a much bigger engine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Still better than an XL, like by far.
Yeah.
Is cost-wise.
All right.
So, yeah. No, I love this. I just love that I can think of it like a mass-produced, like large pulse laser. I would call it a turret, but it's not a turret, but it's like a fast harasser. And I just think that's crazy.
Yeah,
I
was going for striker.
It is
light striker.
I think it is a little bit slow to have its max range of 10 though.
Okay.
That's my only
kited at 585. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Then you have mine, which is, you know,
yeah, Josh's
10 moves 12.
Well, yeah.
Unless we're going through a city, Josh's Greyhound is going to catch up with.
Well, yeah, Josh's Greyhound is faster than you, and you've got a blind spot on your left side, so so he would be able to take advantage of that with his excessive speed.
I mean, the hope is that mine can close the distance. Like, you might get one LRM shot or like an ERPBC or a Gauss, and
then here's Johnny.
And then the next turn, it's like literally rolling charges, because it's like you might shoot the large pulse laser once while it's like 9 or 10 hexes, and if it hits, it hits. If it doesn't, but then it's literally on top of you, and it's, I don't want to say it's a brawl, but it's a brawl.
So yeah, in a nutshell though, your mech is like, if you have artificial constraints on there otherwise, then that takes precedence over Dan's chart. It's all about efficiency. It's not about other constraints. Yeah. So if you're in your head, you're like, well, I want to keep it under this C-bill total.
That was an afterthought. It was mostly like, I want a 40 tonner in this era that I want to play. There are plenty of 40 tonners in the Civil War and, you know, post-invasion eras that are great. But before then, man, I just feel like they're all stinkers.
Yeah. The best thing for a 40 tonner, if you were set on a 40 tonner, the most efficient speed for a 40 tonner is 7.11.
7.11. Okay.
Yep. Now it's only 14 tons to play with, but no other mech at 7.11 comes close to 14 tons.
Then you're a thick cicada. but no, like I said, I love this mech. I would be scared fighting it on the table just because it's something that lore wise I would know, like, I can kill one, but there's like 12 of it.
Yeah. Let's see. They could make, you know, what six? You could have six of these for the price of one of yours.
Yeah. It's like, I can't kill six of them. I can kill one, maybe.
And then bug out. All right.
Mr. Denim.
All right. Let's take now you guys are going to pick mine apart.
Exactly. I don't think we'll be able to. We don't have Dan's chart.
Well, mine is the BLY-1 Bully, and it's the one because of all of the variants of the Bully that I made, this was the first one. I think I've got Bullies 1, 2, 3, and 4 somewhere on my hard drive.
I love it.
But I went with this one. It is definitely a brawler. It's a 75-tonner, no XL engine, because this variant, I wanted it to be able to absorb damage. And it can do that. It's not max armor just because sometimes, like, I almost always go max armor, but sometimes I will drop a half a ton just to fit like one last thing in there. Yeah. I will drop half a ton. I will not drop any more than half a ton.
This is because, still a lot of armor.
Because armor, if you don't have armor, you know, your mech is going to go down if it gets hit. This is not a fast mech. Its only defense is absorbing damage, not avoiding damage.
Yeah.
So this is Brawler, built to absorb damage and deal damage in a medium close range bracket. When it hits you, the plan is to know that you've been hit. You know, it's a bully. It runs up on you as fast as it can, and it just beats you into the dirt. It has big guns that do damage, not like AC5s or 2s that need to get lucky early on. The AC10s make big holes, and then the cluster rounds that it's got finish off a... I guess nobody else can see it. Let me go over this real fast. It is a 75-ton mech. It goes 4-6. It has two LB10Xs in the left and right torso. It has four medium lasers in the left arm, anti-missile system in the center torso, and the anti-infantry small pulse laser in the right arm. Decided not to go with the machine guns this time.
It's my squeezing arm.
Yep. So, yeah, the AC-10s make the big holes, and the cluster rounds finish off a wounded opponent, or like light fast mechs, it gets that cluster bonus to hit. So it's got max armor, and it's got case, so it'll stay around long after it starts taking damage. The double heat sinks do make it heat neutral. I can fire everything and run, except for the small pulse, and be at exactly 20 heat. It is built for city or hill environments. It is not that great in large open areas. It's too slow. The four medium lasers on one arm punish any mechs that get in the rear arc, so I can hit them with up to 20 points of damage. The small pulse lasers for infantry and anyone who is able to get into my blind spot. Like, it's my one weapon that I can fire if they get into my right-hand blind spot.
Yeah.
The anti-missile system just helps it get close to those fire support mechs, you know, avoiding some of the missile damage. Just a little bit more survivability. So its problem is its speed, in my mind. I would love for this to be a 5.8. I could put in jump jets to make it more mobile, but I'd have to lose the four medium lasers. Same thing with mask. It's also 4 tons, so... Anything that makes it go faster would either put an XL engine in it, which makes it less survivable, which is not its role, or it gets rid of those four medium lasers, which really is what only thing that prevents people from jumping into its rear arc with free reign. So it definitely needs some other mechs to keep to cover it while it closes. But once it gets in, under 18 hexes, preferably under 12 hexes, then it really just starts doing damage. Bigly damage.
No, I mean, yours does do the most damage out of all of them. I mean, yours is like 43 total points of damage.
It is less than half the price of yours, but it does have 100 or so more. Its battle value is 1649.
Yeah. This, off the cuff, this reminds me of like a heavier, is it heavier? A faster Hammer Hands with toys.
But the LB-10s are in the
torso. The LB-10s were in the arms for the Hammer Hand.
You're right.
This is a Hunchback like 2C, but...
Right, it's like an Inner Sphere version of a Hunchback 2C, but better.
Exactly.
But with armor this time.
Yeah. With armor, with more rounds of ammo, with clusters instead of just ultras.
Yeah.
It will last more than 10 seconds on the battlefield. So it is not perfect. It is too slow. But I think for its role, I think it would do a lot of damage. I think it would bully people all day long.
If there was a bully miniature, I'd love to paint it up and put it on the table. This looks like a fun.
I would love one of you to get really good at 3D modeling and make me one of these.
Yeah. It's like the fourth time we've talked about that today.
Right? Well, if I could, make it, if I could do the things, then we could do the things. It'd be great.
Isn't that how we got with this podcast originally?
I know.
Hey, it's not broke.
Somebody's got to learn how to do it, so I don't know who it's going to be.
But I love this mech. Like I said, it's very similar to like things that I've actually designed. Like, I just love the two barrel, sticking out of the torsos, just kind of like.
Oh, these are over the shoulder. This is one of the ones that I had pictured in my head. These are over the shoulder cannons. They're like bulky Shadowhawk ones, but on each shoulder. Yeah.
It's like when somebody does your dog's voice wrong. Like, no, man, it's over the shoulders. My dog doesn't sound like that.
Yeah. It's four medium lasers are kind of like the Storm Crows, like around the gauntlet lasers. The anti-missile system, like I know it's center torso, but it sticks up over the back. And like then the small pulse laser is just a little hole above the right arm.
It's slow. We talked about that already.
Yeah, that's it. That's the big minus.
This is kind of an Orion chassis with Indo-Steel, right?
75 ton. Yeah.
75 ton 4.6 guy, which is a great, speed and weight profile. What does Dan's chart say about your mech?
Dan's chart says that a 75 tonner going four gives you 42 and a half tons free space, mm-hmm. but so does an 80 or an 85 tonner. So if I were less worried about weapons, if I were to say take out one of the AC-10s and just max it, all I wanted was armor, it'd be better to do this as an 85 ton mech. Just for the armor, but if I'm not worried about maxing out the armor as an 85 ton mech, then the 75 is more efficient because it's cheaper, but it holds the same amount of weapons.
So are you saying basically that the 75, the 80, and the 85 tonners all have
are all 42 and a half at a 4.6 speed.
Interesting. So you'd just be adding armor capability, but not weight for the armor.
Correct. It's just the ability to put on more armor, but you'd have to still have to sacrifice.
Which is why you said you'd have to drop the gun. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like how we all kind of came up with the Goldilocks, what is it, porridges or Goldilocks dilemma. Like, all right, I'm too fast. You're too slow. And then Dustin's over there who I'm too cheap. But I would say like none of our mechs are perfect. All of them have flaws. Some of them like kind of embrace them. Some of them are just like, it's the best that I can do without completely changing what I'm trying to do. But they're all like unique that we all can kind of see something that's canon, like a canon equivalent in our minds. Like
exactly. Looking at these, I would happily accept any of your custom mechs at any of my games, like with very little oversight, because you guys seem to think about custom mechs the way I do. So I'm cool with it.
The right way.
Yeah.
The right way is whichever way you have fun doing.
None of us want cheese or anything. It's just, yeah, it works.
Don't worry. We'll do the clan custom episode one day.
Oh, man. Do I have some stuff for that?
See, that's why I was like, oh, no, we'll keep this one in.
It's a Timberwolf A. I make a Timberwolf A for clan customs.
We'll keep this
ERPPC, three medium pulses.
The perfect form was
targeting computer.
If you are building a mech in like the Dark Age or Ilkhan, you can literally use anything. Like the world is your oyster. It's almost too much.
I know nothing about the Dark Age. I am reading all the novels again to get up to Ilkhan, and I am just at the end of the jihad. I don't know anything about the Dark Age, so I'm about to learn. Like my next book I read is starts in the Dark Age.
So for our last mech, so we asked all of our listeners to send us their customs and we would give it a quick little talk over, and we put all of them into a random number generator, and our pick was Stumpy Walter and his York. Man,
nice. Exactly. I like the name.
And Skippy writes, I have a good all-rounder for you. I've had good success for the last several years. Basically a 75-ton rifleman variant, so it will be a surprise for people who don't expect it. I call it York, named after Sergeant York of World War I fame. The guy behind the design was a member of a farm unit for the Kellhounds who lost several rifleman mechs in combat, but couldn't give it up, so he fixed it, quote-unquote. So
awesome.
His rifleman variant, the York, has two extended range large lasers, two ultra autocannon fives, two medium pulse lasers, Guardian ECM, and it's an XL with 4.6. So it has 2 tons of ammo for the ultra autocannons in the right torso with case, 15 double heat sinks. It's maxed out on armor with the ability to do 38 heat and sink 30. So BV-wise, that's 17, and it's 15 million, almost 16 million C-bills. So
yeah, you fixed the rifleman.
The armor, yeah, like adding armor to a rifleman fixes it.
I like that it still has, or not that it still has, but it has an XL engine, so it's not completely not a rifleman anymore, right? It has to be a little squishy, a tiny bit squishy, right?
Yeah, I like the Guardian ECM because, you know, of the radar dish of the rifleman. Love that. But like, this is a flavored custom, and that's I love that.
I would have, if he had not said that this was a rifleman variant, I would have actually either gone straight to, okay, this is a rifleman or like a bigger blackjack, like just the lasers and ballistics, like in the same arms. Like, I love it. It's very iconic and I can't see anything like wrong with it besides it maybe being slow.
But, yeah, it's but a little.
That's not why we're here. We're not like here to critique and like, oh,
yeah.
No, I mean, this is like if we do the Dan chart, you know, I would just say, hey, bump that up to 95, keep everything the same, and you get another like 4 or 5 tons to add even more armor on.
But
that's not what this is about.
I love that he was like, this man who lost several rifleman mechs.
No more.
I take all the pieces of the rifleman and squish them together. And like, isn't the rifleman 60 ton?
65, 60? I think it's 60. Right, 60. You're right. Yeah.
So yeah, he bumped it up 15 tons by all the other rifleman parts on it. And that's where the extra armor comes from.
Yep.
But I've always liked the rifleman except for its problem, like double heat sinks and armor that, I love the over under barrels on the arms. I like the Guardian ECM for the little twirly thing. you know, I'd play with this
dish.
Yeah.
Lots of battle value on this guy too. Yeah. I'm surprised.
Yeah, a little bit expensive, but that's because of the XL engine.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of y'all did not choose to go the XL route, but
I cry on the inside when my Inner Sphere mech loses a side torso and it dies.
XL engines I tend to reserve for light mechs, like anything that just has to go fast.
Yeah.
Like they're not going to last long anyway if they start getting hit. So an XL or not XL doesn't really, an XL doesn't lower its life expectancy very much. Like it's already going to go down if it's getting hit. So if an XL will help it go faster, that's what keeps it alive longer. Yep. But anything heavier that's main role is you know, brawling or support, I don't like putting XL engines in there. That's a personal preference. That's not like a hard, fast rule. I'm never going to yell at people for not doing it. There are a couple heavier mechs that should have XLs, like the ones that need to have speed over, like their function is speed. Like a heavy charger, something like that. Not necessarily the charger, but sure, why not? But yeah, like for me, XLs belong in light mechs, not heavier assault.
Now, come back when we move forward in the timeline, because I love the light engine.
That's true. And once we go into the clan place where the XL only takes up 2 slots, I put it in everything.
I mean, there's no reason not to at that point.
Yeah.
Unless you're really starved for crit slots, but that's for the next time we do.
Correct. Stay tuned till next time.
Some honorable mentions that we weren't able to cover in depth.
Yeah. So we'd like to thank Stalkator and his Ku Sith, 2,500 kilogram cubic. 2,500 cubic kilograms and the Chubacabra. The Cater Kana from the On the Origins of Battlemechs podcast and his Ox and
nice.
Harris Ramshackle and the Silverback and the Hillman. Because everyone gave sheets, I'd like to put these all into like Mega Mech and just do like a kind of free for all with all the Mech Bay podcast listeners, you know, custom mechs as like options for me to play with. So
I'd love it.
I'd like to thank everyone who sent one in and all of our listeners that didn't get a chance or are listening to this way in the future, just go ahead and send it to us. I love to see them. So thank you again. So catch us next time on the Mech Bay, where we'll be talking about the next era after the Succession Wars. That's right. It's open season and the clan invasion. All right. Denim, Dustin, I'd like to thank you guys for being back on again and talking custom mechs.
Thank you so much for inviting me on the show again. I always love being here. This one particularly had a lot of meaning for me. Like I've been designing mechs for so long. It's finally good to be able to talk about it, get it all out there
and force your custom fan fiction mechs on all the unsuspecting listeners.
Absolutely.
If you liked today's episode and you want to hear more of us, you can find us on Facebook at the Mech Bay Podcast. You can also, if you have any questions, you can also reach us at themechbaypodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to talk with us on a mech to mech basis, you can reach us on our Discord, where you can find our invite to that on our Facebook page.